Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Today our scripture lesson is from Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in Him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
It's one of my favorite things about the holiday season, especially Christmas time, and I'm sure this is part of what's your favorite thing too, is obviously the food. And it was my idea to have people bring desserts today so that I could go and steal all of your baked goods and eat them today, because it just excites me so much around Christmas time, because I hope for all the things that I'm used to. In my family Christmas, I know that when I go there, or when we're with my mom's side of the family, that I'm going to have the shortbread cookies and the gingerbread cookies and the chocolate chip cookies and the pecan pie and the Christmas ham and all those things that I hope are going to come each and every year and I look forward to so much. And I don't necessarily look forward to every part of it. There's something my grandmother, when she was alive, used to make. It's called a Coke salad. And Coke salad is something revolving around blueberries, raspberries, gelatin, Coke, and kind of a pie crust. And I'm pretty sure it's the only food on earth that ants won't eat. And it's just one of the more disgusting things. But it's such a holiday tradition in our family. My grandmother's, I think she's been passed away for 8 or 9 years now, and they still make this. And from the very first memory I have of family Christmas, it was the thing that you knew it was Christmas time when that got set out. Because when the Coke salad, it was always the first thing in our family buffet line. We had about like 42 people in our family on Christmas. And they would put it out, and there would be the Coke salad. And if you could make it through the Coke salad, you knew that all the good stuff was coming out. And you could hope and expect and have faith that Christmas was going to taste like Christmas. And that it was a special time of the season. Because out of the darkness came the light, I guess you could say. And it's like that just for most of us. We have certain favorites about the holiday season that make it the holiday season. Decorations is next week, things that just mark the season as the season. But food is a big part of that, and it's a big part of every holiday. I especially take Halloween. I mean, it's not really a holiday necessarily, but to this day, I still hope that my kids, when they take their little pumpkin bowls out there, get a boatload of Reese's peanut butter cups, because I can steal those, and I can relive my Halloween fixation. At Thanksgiving, I don't care so much about the Thanksgiving dinner. What I look forward to and have hope for is that I'm going to have turkey sandwiches with gravy on them for the next 4 or 5 weeks to eat it up. And I hope and I expect that. And that's what makes Thanksgiving part of Thanksgiving for me. And of course, when we get to Christmas, we have the pecan pie and we have the ham dinner and we have all of those sumptuous goodies that make it special. It makes it Christmas. But that's one of the things is that I realize is that having my own kids, that's a learned activity. And the holidays really are a learned activity. Throughout all of life, food is part of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's the very basic level. There's food, there's water, there's shelter, there's air, there's the things that you absolutely must have in order to be a functioning human body or a functioning part of creation in this world. And so food is part of that. And I think throughout our daily consumption, you know, if I've gone to Taco Bell for the fifth time in 5 days, I'm not really thinking about the sumptuousness or the spiritual need for that food. I'm thinking about where am I going to get to and how I'm going to make sure my belly is not hungry when I get there. Even at family dinner sometime, if your kids are screaming or if the TV's on or something, dinner or lunch or breakfast, whatever it is simply something you must do so that you don't have pain later. And so in our daily just thinking about food as something we need, it becomes taken for granted. I really admire those people who love to cook. My mother-in-law's partner is a guy who loves to cook, and he makes this great homemade bread, and you can tell the effort he puts into it, and you enjoy it that much more because you know it's special. And that's kind of what we get at the holidays, is we get these recipes that don't come out during the rest of the year. They remind us about how good food is. They remind us to slow down and taste the spices and to see the sprinkles and to enjoy the succulent turkey that is more so than just the thing you pulled out of the freezer, stuck in the oven, turned it to 300 and waited until, I know y'all are all better cooks than we are perhaps. And that's what makes the holidays special, is you take the time to enjoy the food and to find the meaning in the food. And I've learned that this is not necessarily a given. For me, seeing the nasty Coke salad followed by the pecan pie and all the goodies is something that I've learned to enjoy. But as I've thought about watching my kids grow up and thinking about the sensory experiences of our scripture verse, taste and see that the Lord is good. If I have a brownie that I see, and I've never seen a brownie before, and I've never tasted a brownie before, all it is a square that's brown. And if I touch it, it's a little gooey, but I have some experience with other things that are gooey that are not so wonderful. You know what I have a 2-year-old. Come on. And the smell produces an aroma that is a little bit more pleasing, right? It releases some endorphins that make it a little more sumptuous. But after I tasted that brownie for the first time, I want more. I want the entire pan, perhaps. And you know what? That brownie kind of looks like that cake. And I mean, I've never tasted that cake before, but I want that as well because it looks like the brownie. It reminds me. It's a learned experience that makes that brownie special. And I've learned this especially over Thanksgiving. I have a 2-year-old. I also have a 4-year-old named Arden. And my kids have always been great eaters. But at Thanksgiving time, we usually will go to my grandparents' house down in San Antonio, or we'll go to my father-in-law's house in Oklahoma City. And 2 years ago, Arden was 2 years old, and we go up to Richard's house in Oklahoma. And I've been told I don't really like stuffing that much. People say I'm crazy, but I don't like stuffing that much. And I'm told that my father-in-law makes the world's greatest stuffing. And this is from family members as well as non-family members, that it just beats everyone by leaps and bounds. And so Lindsay makes sure she piles the cranberry sauce and the turkey and the corn and the green beans, and she gives Arden an extra helping of stuffing because she's 2 and she's starting to eat everything that we're starting to eat. And through minutes of her screaming, "I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it," Lindsay is just trying to get that stuffing into her mouth, right? Because it's important to her. It's important to us that she take part in what makes the holiday so special to us. Because we have learned that stuffing and turkey and cranberry sauce and all those things are what make the holiday special. And we want Arden to engage in that. We want her to know how special all of those things are and to be a part of our tradition, part of our hope in that season that is encompassed in our food. And so what's funny is through minutes of her screaming, "I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it," she never had it before, all of a sudden we finally get her to take one little bite, and her reaction immediately was, "I want some more." And then as, she's 3 and we go down to my grandparents and she looks at Lindsay and says, "This doesn't taste as good." And then she goes back and she can't get enough of it. And so because she tasted that one time and she saw how good it was, she smelled it, she had it into her soul and her body, is now something that's special to her about Thanksgiving. It's something special about going to Grandpa Richard's house. And she's tasted and seen that is good. And the same thing goes into our scripture verse today. The scripture verse of taste and see that the Lord is good is part of really a longer narrative, but it speaks to King David having this experience with God in which he learned the protection of God. He learned the sweetness of God. He learned the fulfillment of God. And so Psalm 34, it's actually, if you read it in Hebrew, it's this acrostic poem. It goes through the Hebrew alphabet, and it kind of has a statement, letter by letter, that tells about God's character. And if you read the very beginning of it, before you even get into the verses, it says, "A praise for deliverance from trouble of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away." And so this is kind of an interesting story in there, because the entire psalm is about God's protection. It's about God's faithfulness, and we'll read a little bit more of it later. But it refers to David having this learned experience. So the background of the story a little bit is David has kind of been led into the inner circle of King Saul. King Saul, who was anointed by God to be the first king of Israel, united Israel, or semi-united Israel, I suppose, not fully united Israel, under the kingship, and was not the king that God, I guess, thought he was going to be, or that the people thought he was going to be. He wasn't faithful to God in all circumstances. He didn't follow the strict rules of Deuteronomy that he was supposed to follow. And so God talks to Samuel and says, "You know what? You need to go and you need to anoint David, the little shepherd boy, as the king." And so throughout this, Saul gets jealous and Saul tries to kill David. And as we all learn, that if somebody is trying to run and kill us, it's a good idea to run away. That is a learned experience. I hope you all have. And so David is running north. He's running away from his kingdom in the south. He's running away from his family in the south. He's running north for some reason. And he goes and he finds the priest Abimelech. And Abimelech sees David. He has no idea what's going on with the whole royal feud. And says, David, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm here on a mission from the king. Kind of tells a little white lie. And says, what food do you have? I'm in a hurry. He says, well, the only food I have is the bread that has been blessed for the worship. It's the sacred bread. But here you go. And so David takes this bread. Now he ought to find this royal anointing taste, right? He ought to have this taste that reminds him of his anointing, that reminds him of this experience as a young man in which Samuel came and marked him with oil and said that you are anointed for something greater. You are anointed for God's purposes. He ought to have tasted, he ought to have experienced that same thing, but he hasn't quite tasted this yet. And then he says, well, I need a weapon. And so Abimelech says, well, the only weapon here is the same sword that you used to defeat Goliath. Remember the great Philistine giant that we know the story about the sling and the stone, but there's the rest of the story if you read it, a different passage where David takes the sword and finishes off Goliath. And so the only weapon is the very weapon in which God used David to defeat the Philistines, and that he accomplished glory in that moment. That God took a lowly shepherd boy, small, quaking in his armor, being made fun of by everyone bigger than him, this miraculous sword, and that he should have experienced that God's protection is with me. That he should have remembered God's faithfulness in that time. But instead, David takes the bread. He takes the sacred bread that should have reminded him of anointing. And he takes this sword that should have reminded him of God's protection. And instead of running back to his family or to his kingdom or anything Hebrew, he runs farther north. And he runs to King Achish of the Philistines. Now, there's an irony here to where David, carrying the sword in which he defeated the Philistines with, runs to the king of the Philistines for protection. To beg that this king would protect him from his own king, protect him from God's own anointed. And it's a great story as he moved through, and David feels something in which he shudders knowing what's going on. That he shudders in which he is not trusting in the God that has delivered him over and over again. He is not trusting and having faith in the God that has brought him through trials and tribulations already. That he is instead going to that temporary moment of safety, that temporary moment of comfort, much like we do with food. At the end of the day, when we have a glass of wine or a piece of dark chocolate, and we are momentarily easing the pain, when the holidays come and we're dealing with the death or a loss of a loved one or a change in our life circumstance and we cannot get enough pecan pie, and it's not even the holidays, it's every day for a lot of us, and that food or wine or beer or name your poison beyond food or drink is what we run to for momentary glory, momentary escape. And we've learned over and over again that if we just keep on doing the same behavior, it will keep on feeding that momentary need. But David shudders at this. He recognizes that the King Achish is not the answer. He recognizes, at some point, he gets frightened. He realizes, as we learn in the psalm later, that it is the Lord who truly provides comfort. It is the Lord who truly provides fulfillment. And he realizes all these things that he's experienced have led him to learn this finally. And so, this is an aside note. The way he ends up escaping is much of probably the same way that you escape your family Christmas when you're stressed out. He acts temporarily insane, bangs his head against the wall, and starts drooling. I know many of you have probably done this at some point or another. So King David perhaps is like the first Cousin Randy from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation in there. And so he escapes from that. But his psalms are often reflections of what has happened. They're emotional outcries looking back at a situation. They're songs, they're poetry, they're David's reflection. And he reflects in this of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. This one little passage, and it carries a lot of weight. It has nothing to do with food necessarily in this passage. It has to do with tasting being an all-encompassing experience. Like we talked about the brownie. When I taste the brownie, I taste it, I smell it, I feel it. It is all-encompassing. Every part of me is engaging with that. And the language, if you go to the Hebrew in Samuel, 1 Samuel 21, when David is shuddering in front of the king and he realizes something, the Hebrew words can actually mean he changed his tastes. He changed what was palatable. He understood what fulfilled him. And so in the moment of temporary goodness that he would have gotten under King Achish and the Philistine protection, because they didn't like King Saul either, he realizes he changed his tastes. And he sees that the Lord is good. He sees that the Lord provides protection. He sees that the Lord provides comfort. The Lord provides fulfillment. That it is only God alone that could provide these things on a long-lasting basis. Only God that can provide his identity. Only God that can provide his protection in the darkest times. Only God that is going to fulfill him in richness and in holiness. That nothing else we can engage in, no matter how sweet it is ever going to replace the God who comes down in heaven from heaven in the person of Jesus Christ at Christmas time. And David learns that. And we hear about his reflections in the psalm, and I only hope that we can learn that as well. That at each Christmas time, as we taste the food, that the food itself is not our comfort. As we hope for the food and we hope for the decorations and we have faith that Christmas time will come again, we have faith that Jesus will come again. We have faith that in the darkest times, when it gets dark at 5 o'clock, we can't grow crops because it's too cold, people are freezing without jackets, that in all of those dark times, this is the moment in which we celebrate and we remember that Jesus comes. That Jesus comes to protect us from sin and from death. That Jesus comes to clothe the naked and to warm up the cold. That Jesus comes to fill our hearts when they're empty. And that it's only through Jesus Christ that we can experience such fulfillment and such wonderful taste. And it's only through tasting Jesus that we can fully experience Jesus. Only through all of our senses, all of ourselves, through fully letting Jesus into ourselves, into our bodies, into our souls, that we will really understand the Jesus who comes at Christmas time. The Jesus who dies for us and who resurrects so that we may have eternal life and abundant life. And that's hopefully something that maybe you're learning today for the first time, and maybe this is something that is a lifelong process of learning for you. Because I doubt there's anyone in here, whether this is your first time in church or whether you have been in church your entire life or whether this is your first time even hearing the word Jesus, I doubt there is any one of you who haven't felt God's blessings in some way or another, whether you knew it was God or not. I doubt there's none amongst us who haven't experienced the blessings of God through community, who haven't experienced upliftment from God, who haven't in some way smelled or heard or seen or felt God. But one of the things we learn from our holiday food, one of the things we learn from the scripture verse of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, is that we've got to fully grasp it. We've got to fully let Jesus come into our souls at Christmas time. We've got to let Jesus continue in our spirits throughout the rest of the year. Because just to see or just to hear or just to feel is never going to be the fulfillment and the abundant life of what God demands of us, what God gives to us, and how we are loved. But it is truly tasting, letting all of it into us, experiencing with all five senses, engulfing and ingesting into us the fullness of Jesus Christ and everything that he says, everything that he does, that will allow us to be set free and to feel God's love, protection, guidance, and fulfillment. And it's one of the reasons why the communion table is so important. It's one of the reasons why tasting and seeing that the Lord is good is something we do at least once a month, and who knows, maybe we should do it more. Because whereas God comes at Christmas time into a person that we can see and we can feel and we can talk to and that loves us and we see die and we see resurrect, the communion table reminds us of this in bread and juice that we can taste and we can touch, we can see, we can smell, we can hear it being dipped, we can hear it being torn, we can see it, but it's not until we taste it that we know how sweet it is. And so we pray that God's Holy Spirit would come upon this gift of bread and juice, that it would be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we hope for Christ's return, we may feel Christ within us. and that we may be the body and blood of Jesus Christ for the world, so that others may taste and see and experience the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through us, so that they too may know God's protection and God's presence, God's fulfillment and God's joy. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.